All right. This is the Video Film Podcast. Jesse here with my trusty co-host Adam, who loves piggybacks.
Hello, Jesse.
And we watched a couple movies about some perfectly normal guys. Really normal, run-of-the-mill guys.
Yep. All of them.
Robert Crumb in the movie Crumb and Harvey Pekar in the movie American Splendor.
All right.
And whenever I watch Crumb, I think I'm normal. This guy's fucked up.
Oh yeah.
He's like one missing pencil away from just murdering a million people.
It seems that way, yeah. But let's not talk about Crumb first. I want to talk about American Splendor first.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've got nothing to say about American Splendor. So then we'll get that out of the way, and then we can talk forever about Crumb.
Nothing to say. I find this movie very interesting.
I think it's an interesting way in the way they made the movie. That's interesting.
That's interesting. It's like a kind of a documentary slash movie, and he's caught kind of commenting. The real guy is commenting, and he's in the movie, and sometimes the other real people are in the movie, and they're going behind the scenes and sort of showing them interact, and the actors are sitting there watching them, which is kind of interesting, I thought. But I guess it all goes to show you how mundane everything in the guy's life is. So, and just anything can be in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. So, well, why don't you have too much to say? Did you? There's just not a lot because it's so pedestrian, the movie.
Like, yeah.
Not much is going on.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's interesting that he was famous enough to be asked on Letterman a bunch of times. So obviously he had enough fame with his comic books to be asked to do some stuff. But really, I just didn't get why his comic books were famous. That's what they didn't explain that to me. And so I'm left kind of being like, why am I watching this boring guy? Like, I don't really give a shit. I don't see anything interesting about him. So why was his comic books interesting? Why it would be just because he got Crumb to draw them?
I guess they explain it much more, and I'm surprised that it's not, I guess, clearer because we watched Crumb, but it's because underground comics were a whole thing at one time. I don't know if they still are, but in the 60s and 70s, there was a movement away from comics just being for kids, and comics started to be for adults, and they started to be weird. And Crumb mentions a bunch of times that LSD was a big factor in...
Crumb did. Yes.
Yes.
But I'm talking about American Splendor.
I know. I'm explaining it.
All right.
I'm explaining American Splendor. And so now they start making all these different kinds of comics. There's the comics that Crumb made, which were a little bit stranger. And then there's the comics of Harvey Pekar, which are almost the exact opposite of just stuff that he's doing. And I don't know. I think it's almost like a documentary in itself. Like, sometimes there's a documentary of just a normal person who's not that interesting, but you're watching them and you're seeing their life. And I always kind of like those documentaries. There's always...
You don't like boring documentaries that don't go
anywhere.
I'm
not talking about boring, but I'm talking about people who are not that famous or something. Like, Errol Morris makes a lot of documentaries about people like that. They're special in their own way, and which everybody is, I suppose. But I think Harvey Pekar's comics, people were just like, oh, okay, I get to see the mundane in a comic, and this is the exact opposite of like a superhero comic, but it's also, there's something interesting in it. Just the way this guy is, just the way this
what
guy
was interesting.
Is,
I still don't see what was interesting.
I think it's just the way the guy's commenting on his life and being so honest. Most people wouldn't do a comic of themselves being a loser.
Mm-hmm. Is that what was interesting? Is that he's a loser in his comic? I didn't know that.
I think it's interesting that he's both a loser in his comics and in real life, and he's just documenting it. And he it's there's no, I guess there's he's not exaggerating anything or making it into a big deal or anything. He's just kind of documenting, like, oh, I can't get chicks and whatever. They
Did he
talk
say
about,
that? Was that part of his comics? I don't
yeah, I
know.
think he's talking about being lonely and stuff like that in the comics. And obviously he gets a wife later, a third wife, I think, later. But yeah, I think it's just he's just interesting because it's something that probably not many people had ever tried before. Just making almost a journal into a comic and making it so plain.
Yeah, that still sounds boring and uninteresting to me.
I've never read his comics, but I thought the movie did a good job of
I
showing.
don't think people would keep reading them if they were just boring and uninteresting. I think they attempted to show why his comics were getting attention, and it was because he had thoughts like standing behind the old Jewish woman at the supermarket, and they were probably funny. He probably his observations, his mundane observations, like Jerry Seinfeld, were funny to people, and they would laugh at the everyday things. But I just think they only showed that one thing, and then you're supposed to be, so that's all of his comic book was about, just his one thought. Like, they had to give me a few more examples, because if they don't, then we just go into the, like you're saying, I think they were just, it just showed him sleeping for eight panels. And I'm like, I don't think anybody would be reading that comic book if that's what it was.
I don't think it was quite like that, but I think it was there. It was unvarnished. There was no, he didn't become the superhero and defeat the old Jewish woman at the counter. He was just a guy getting angry, and people are like, "Yeah, I get angry when people are arguing about coupons."
Yes. They needed to give me more examples of that. Because they also talked about him being so angry and yelling all the time. And I'm like, I just didn't see it.
Yeah, he didn't yell that much.
He didn't yell very much. And so then you're like, so what? Am I supposed to be interested in this guy because he's lost his voice? His voice sounds funny. I just don't know why I'm supposed to give a shit about this guy. They at least should have, if, unless you're right and he was boring and people read it because it was boring, which I can't imagine being the case. I think, there must have been something else in these comics that made them popular. Otherwise, you don't sell any. And you don't sell them just because they're underground. There's got to be something interesting that makes them stand out.
Well, I don't think he sold a ton of comics. Like, I'd never heard of him before this movie, and I've never heard anything about him after this movie, except for this movie. So it's not like he was a huge figure.
Well, I just heard, well, I wouldn't know any name. Like, if you would have told me Crumb, the only reason is because I watched the Crumb documentary. Like, I wouldn't know any comic books names. But I just started watching another documentary called Married to Comics, which came out a couple years ago. And they've got Crumb in it doing interviews. And they threw out his name. What's the fucking guy's name from American Splendor?
Harvey
Pekar.
Pekar.
Harvey Pekar. They threw his name out there. And they, but the documentary wasn't about him at all, but they were listing names in the underground comic scene. And the documentary has nothing to do with Harvey Pekar, but his name was at the top of the list. So he must be popular in that circle.
In that circle.
But it's not like there was only five guys drawing underground comics. I'm saying there must have been a reason that he rose to the top in this documentary fantasy fiction thing didn't explain to me why I should give a shit about this guy. He didn't seem to have anything funny to say.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't worried about why he was popular or why make a movie about him. I guess I was more, is the movie good? Am I
Which
interested in the movie?
I wasn't.
I'm not saying it's an amazing movie, but I think it's good. I think it shows a guy's life. It shows how he gets kind of famous, but still not really famous, but still keeps going on with his life. How there was a brief period where he got a little bit famous and the other nerd guy got a little bit famous. But it was, I don't know, probably like over a period of 2 years or something like that. And then it faded back into obscurity.
Yeah, you can assume that, I guess, now that you're talking about it. But yeah, you're right. They did show that his friend got attention. I guess it just didn't go anywhere. Now, let me ask you this. If they're going to show the real footage of Harvey Pekar on the Letterman show, why switch it to a fake Letterman set when he has his outburst and he wears his boycott NBC shirt? The time that I want to see the real footage, they change their mind and go with the fake footage.
I can tell you exactly why.
Yeah, because it never aired. That would be my only guess.
NBC would not license the footage for the movie from that.
What?
That's the answer. NBC refused to license that episode to them.
Ah, that's weird.
It's weird. I thought it was weird, but apparently that's the truth. And so they recreated it with Paul Giamatti.
Were they that ashamed of that segment?
I don't know exactly. There, I didn't see any reason behind it. It was just in the IMDb trivia.
Dumb.
Dumb on NBC's part.
That's what I'm
It's like
saying.
it was something that happened 20 years before this movie, and they hadn't gotten over it, apparently.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They were that upset about it. They thought it was hurt, gonna hurt them that badly.
Maybe they did. I don't know. Maybe, who knows? Maybe there was some other reason. I don't know.
I thought for a second maybe they never aired that episode, so they just have to recreate it, so because the footage doesn't exist. But then I thought, well, they're showing people watching it on TV and reacting to it. So I'm like, so if they're gonna tell me they never aired the footage, why then splice in people reacting to it like they were almost like they were watching it live? But to hear that NBC said, yes, you can have the first three clips, but you can't have that one. It was like, I think Letterman had something to say about it. I think Letterman would have
I don't
been
think so
involved in the
because
decision.
Letterman would have been at CBS by that time.
And I also would think that he'd be like, show it. That was great. We had great ratings.
I'm sure Letterman would have been. Yeah, I'm sure Letterman would have wanted them to show it. He wouldn't care, especially at that point. He hadn't been on NBC at that point for 10 years.
Oh, that's weird.
I found it weird as well. I found it weird that they cut to that.
Well, now knowing that, that's the reason it's not. You mean you found it weird after, and you went and found that fact out after you watched the movie?
Yeah, I found the fact out after. Like, I
Okay.
found it weird when I was watching the movie, just
Yeah.
like you did.
Yeah. And you went the extra mile and read some trivia.
I just read the trivia every time, just because you'll ask me questions like that, and sometimes I'll have an answer, and
Well,
you'll sometimes seem impressed.
I can't always ask you the right questions from all the stuff that you've learned on the trivia. Sometimes
Right.
you've just got to jump in with
Yeah,
facts.
sometimes I jump in with facts and sometimes you bring them up and
Go ahead, jump in with some facts.
I have no more facts about
That's always the, I ask you one question, you're like, I
this
have
movie
that one answer.
does not have a
Yeah.
lot of facts to go along with it.
Yeah. Well,
There's
again,
not
what
too
I
much.
found interesting was that they made the movie in kind of a unique way by having Harvey Pekar there reading stuff, reading things, but they wrote him a script and they tell you that, like, hey, did you even read this script? And he's like, not really. I not really. And it's supposed to be a script about his life that he's reading off, like it's coming from him. But then they'll cut to the reenactments, and then they did the kind of interesting Letterman stuff where they used the actual footage. I thought that was interesting. It just wasn't an interesting subject for me. So they had to go the extra mile to make it an interesting movie by making it in a unique way. Because if it was just a full reenactment, I'd be like, wow, how boring was that to watch?
Yeah, it probably would have been. I think it was interesting to really show that this is a real guy and that he's not that interesting and he doesn't care about fame that much. And
Yeah.
he is the same as Giamatti's playing him, if not more. Like Giamatti seemed to have toned him down a lot
Yeah.
in the movie. I thought like he was much more of a character when they're showing him than he is on the screen. Like normally they would make the character more interesting, but if anything, they almost made him less interesting.
Yeah.
Like you almost wished it had been more of a documentary like Crumb. But then that had been done 10 years before.
Is that what it is? When was American Splendor made? Sorry, there was no
2000
year announcements at the beginning and no director announcements, so I don't know. I can't place this anywhere in time.
American Splendor was 2003, and I believe Crumb was about 93, maybe 94.
Okay. All right. Now I have some perspective. Now I know what we're talking about.
Now you're tethered. You're not floating around, not knowing the
It's
years.
all I ask for. It's
Okay.
never gonna happen, ever.
When would you have guessed American Splendor was made?
96.
Okay.
That's what I would have guessed because at the beginning of the movie, he says, here's my friend Robert Crumb. They made a movie about him too. And I looked at the date for Crumb and it was 94. So I'm like, oh, this probably came out a few years after.
Yeah, a few years.
Well, 10 years.
Probably, I'm sure Crumb inspired this movie to be made. But I think it was a good idea that they didn't make a documentary like Crumb because Crumb's obviously a far more interesting subject. His work is far more interesting when he's explaining it, like Harvey Pekar. I can imagine him just explaining his comics like, this is me walking down a street thinking I'm fat. This is me walking into the grocery store. I'm hungry, or something like that. And then Crumb's like, yeah, this is a guy taking a woman's head out and having sex with a headless woman. And this, and he's using a plunger to take it, like, whatever. You kind of see the difference between these two guys. And I thought it was cool that Crumb illustrated his books.
Yeah, that's it. That was the only thing interesting. No, that and the fact that he got on Letterman, and then he blew it up. I mean, that is interesting to think that he was going there, and then he just decided. And I wonder if that's true that he was like because his girlfriend kind of poked him, and said, "You're such a sellout." And he's like, "I'm not selling out. I'll go on NBC and blow it up." Like that was his only fame, really, and. And then he was like, ah, it's not helping me any. That is, it makes it for an interesting guy that he could be that short-sighted and what's the word? Curmudgeonly.
Do you think he realized that if he did kind of quote unquote sell out, that he couldn't really write the comic from the same perspective anymore? Because he's writing about himself, right? So now what's he going to write about how he's rich and famous?
Do I think it was a conscious thing that any of that?
Or
I hadn't given it any
whatever. Do you
thought.
think he maybe not completely conscious, but do you think that was on some level what he wanted to do?
I don't think so, but I don't know. You could be right.
I don't know. I think it's interesting to think about. What did you think about the portrayal of Crumb in this movie after watching Crumb, the real guy, for 2 hours? What did you think about the portrayal of this character?
I remembered him being much weirder than the character in American Splendor. It's like, oh, he just seems like a normal guy. Just a normal, calm guy.
Which is not at all. Like, I would think that whoever's playing that would be like, oh man, I get to play Crumb. This is going to be great. I'm going to be all weird and laughing at the wrong times.
Yeah, and you don't even have to, you can just watch the movie and be like, and pick up on it. It's not like you have to follow the guy around to learn him. Because
And this
there's
guy
nothing
was like,
documented about him.
I'm going to be the most normal guy ever. And then get a piggyback at one point, and that's it.
Yeah, again, make it interesting. What are you doing with your mundane movie? You've got
That they really could, yeah.
opportunities to make things interesting,
That's a missed opportunity.
and you're not stretching reality.
That's a missed out. They could have had fucking like Nick Cage in there, just going nuts. or
Yeah.
whoever. Who knows who could have played that
You're
guy?
right. They only showed the one weird thing about him was that he jumped on a girl's back.
Yeah.
Is it because they just didn't want to put attention on him? They're like, this movie's not about him.
Maybe, but it would have been much more interesting if he was that weird, but he was just drawing this comic about this normal
It's
guy.
so extra boring that the guy couldn't even draw himself. So he's just writing down his thoughts and crumbs bring them to life. I'm going back to the beginning. Why were those comic books popular? I'm guessing
Yeah.
because Crumb drew them.
Yeah, I'm sure that helped.
I bet you that's it. I bet you people saw this comic is by Crumb and that sold all of his issues.
It could be. It could be. I don't know if he was like, if he illustrated the best ones or the most popular ones.
I think he did them all, didn't he? Oh, I
No,
guess no,
no,
he hired
no. There were
somebody
different
different.
people.
Thought
Because
he did like the
they.
first eight, though.
It probably. I think he did some of the first ones because he was the guy who inspired him to become a comic book writer.
I
But
thought he
that would
did them
be
all.
so. No, he didn't do them all.
Not
Because
till
he.
up until the end when they hired somebody different that had the daughter. That was a different guy.
No, there were different people because they talk about when his girlfriend meets him, she's like, I don't know which one of you to expect because Crumb draws you like an ape. And another guy draws you like Marlon Brando or something like that.
Oh, I didn't hear the second part of that. I heard her say, I don't know what to expect because Crumb draws you like a monster.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, don't, just ignore those. I didn't hear her say somebody else draws you different.
And then they showed like two or three different versions of him. So there may have even been three or four or more illustrators at
All
that
right.
point.
All right.
But how, like, this is the weird, I find the weirdest thing about like these comic books, like you said, is that you can write comic books and then another person illustrates them.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that would be incredibly frustrating if I wrote the comic and I'm like, that's not what it looks like.
Yeah.
But then you can't draw it or really explain it. Or do you just kind of or are you just kind of fascinated by the people who can draw, I guess?
The only experience, the only knowledge I have of any of this stuff is from Walt Flanagan.
Mm-hmm.
From the Tell 'Em Steve Dave podcast
Sure.
and his friend Brian Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And Walt and him made a comic. They made a few comic books together, right? And Walt is can draw. And just as
Okay.
a kid, he would draw shit all the time and draw. And he's a good artist. He's a great artist. You can look at his
Yeah.
comics. Like they're
Okay.
a million times better than anything I could do. I could draw the stick figure almost half as good as Harvey Pekar could do it.
Yeah.
And so Walt was just great, but he just I feel like he just had no confidence in his ability to write a sentence.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. That's not like Crumb, who could do it all, right? He
Yeah.
can he
Yeah.
but he Walt was like, I can draw it. I just need you to write it and like write me a story. So he gets his friend Brian to do it, who has no interest in comics at all. No
Yeah.
interest. Walt and Kevin would go and buy comics when they were teenagers, and he'd just tag along just so that he was there to make fun of people, you know, at the comic conventions.
Yeah.
But he had no interest. But Walt like said, let's do a comic together and you have to write it and all that stuff. So he would never get around to doing it. He was taking too many painkillers and he just and there was episodes of
Taking
the
too many
Oh, he
painkillers.
was hooked on painkillers while they were on
Yeah.
TV. But there was an episode of the podcast where they just exploded on each other, and Walt was just like, "You never will send me pages, and that's it. That's all I want from you is pages."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Why don't you just do it yourself, Walt? How fucking hard could
Yeah.
it be?" Like, but for
Yeah.
whatever reason, he's just like, "I refuse to write it. Somebody
Yeah.
else write it." So he just set up this kind of division of labor. I'll draw what you tell me to draw. It's weird, right? Like, just somebody that can sit,
Yeah,
like,
that's
just limit
weird.
themselves for their talent. Because he got so
Yeah.
mad that Brian wouldn't give him the pages. He was excited to do it.
The
But
drawing seems like the hard part to me, but
me too.
maybe it's because you and I can't draw, but we can write.
Yeah, well, as long as I have a spell checker, I could write.
No, I mean, I don't mean spell. I mean, like you and
That's
I,
what scares me.
if I gave you like an English class assignment and I said, I want you to write a story about a little boy
No
who
problem. ChatGPT, copy and paste,
so
boom,
sad,
done.
so sad. No, but it, like if somebody gave us an assignment and said, I want you to write about this, I want you to write a movie about this, a 5-minute video about
Yeah.
this, we could do that. We couldn't do the storyboards.
Exactly. If somebody said, "Dude, now just draw me one storyboard for that entire thing," I couldn't fucking do it. And
And I
maybe
do it
that's how
all the
Walt views
time,
it.
and people laugh.
You
They're
do what
like,
all the
I
time?
love how your storyboards are terrible.
Oh, get ChatGPT to do it. That's why this ChatGPT thing is great. People like us who are just limited, we could be like, we don't need anybody else. We can actually do our own thing now. Just go in
That's
and get
pretty.
ChatGPT to do your storyboards for you.
That's a pretty good idea. Couldn't you
It's
just say,
fucking
like,
genius.
write a storyboard of.
Yes. I swear to God, it's that simple. It's incredible.
With the camera position and everything.
Well, if it draws you one and then you're like, I want the camera to be from the left, literally you respond, do it again, but make the camera to the left, and it will fucking do it. This world
I'm
is
so behind.
yes, you are, and you gotta get in there. Like there's no wrong. Like you can't do anything wrong. You go in there and do something, you can't be wrong. It literally says when you get to the page, type anything. It's fucking crazy.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. Get in there.
Okay.
Don't let the world change around you. Like, if there's enough
Yeah.
people that are just being like, I don't want any party or thing. It's like, you won't go to, ch you won't type in chatgpt.com and hit enter once in your life. No, I
Yeah.
refuse. They're
Yeah.
taking my jobs.
I'm a little more worried about getting, like you said, like telling it to write you something. I'm more worried about I'll do that.
So do it. Are you, what's wrong with that?
I don't know. Nothing's wrong with it per se, but then if somebody's like, "Hey, did you write this?" I'd have to be like, "No, I didn't write it."
Yeah.
I'd rather people be impressed with my writing than people be impressed with ChatGPT's writing.
So don't use it to write then. I mean, you're
I
answering your own
know.
questions.
No, I know. It's just that I'm scared that I will use it to write.
Oh,
And it'll be better than what I could write.
so you're gonna treat this like drugs. I'm
Yeah, a little
scared.
bit. Yeah. It's like a drug. It's like a drug. You can get hooked on it. It can maybe not ruin your
You can
life,
have
but.
whatever fears keep you back in the 90s. Go ahead and stay there, Jesse.
I'm not
I'm going
opposed.
to the year 2050.
I'm not a. You're right. You should. I'm not opposed to ChatGPT in general. I'm worried that it'll do my writing for me.
That does not keep me awake at night at all. Let me tell you, that's one fear that does not bother me. I am using it as such an amazing tool now. And after spending hours and hours and hours and hours of my life doing taxes, trying to figure out how to fucking do taxes for my business myself and killing myself and calling the CRA, people at the CRA, and calling accountants and trying to get people to call me back. And fucking finally this week, it clicked. And I went to ChatGPT and I said, okay, where do I report box 25 on the from the T3 that I have on my T2 corporate income tax return? And within 1 second, within a second, it had a full page of here's how you do it. It was amazing. And I'm
Amazing.
like,
That
oh
is
my
amazing.
God. And now I can do this myself. Because
Yeah,
I at
that's
least
pretty
have somebody
helpful.
to help. And don't respond, well, how do you know it's right? You don't. Okay. So I still have to go out there and do more Googling to, and it has been wrong on a bunch of things. But at least it's pointed me in the direction that had just paralyzed me trying to do this shit myself before. I was just paralyzed because I'm like, how the fuck do I find the answers to this? And you go on, you start looking at the CRA website, and it's like, no, you have to read 7,000 pages on the CRA website. And you still might not have the answer when you're done reading them all. Now ChatGPT just went and read all that for me, and it came back with two sentences like, you should use that should be reported in Schedule 3. And I'm like, I know where Schedule 3 is, and it should be on line 1200. I'm like, oh, let me look. I think it's right. And then I asked a follow-up question, and which Giphy code would I use? And then it said, oh, you should use Giphy code 8290. And I'm like, holy shit. So now it's really helping me to get past this barrier that I have. Okay.
That's great.
I know.
No, that's great. But I'll tell you a little, I'll tell you a little story about something that happened at work. So I'm talking to a guy at work, and he ends the conversation by going, you should use ChatGPT more. Or I think we should use ChatGPT more. And he meant me. And I go, why? He goes, because I looked it up and it says this thing. And I was like, that doesn't. Or maybe if it does, it's wrong. And he's like, no, it's not wrong.
Right.
I looked it up and I'm like, did you ask it the right questions? And he's like, yeah, I asked it exactly the right question. And it gave me the answer. And it's in the contract. I'm like, yeah, but it's not.
Right.
And then I went to the actual contract and I realized that if you take it out of context, like just the couple sentences that he's referring to,
yeah,
it's right. If you take it completely out of context.
Right.
So ChatGPT must have been like, yeah, that's right. Or whatever. I don't know what exactly the question that he asked it.
Right.
But ChatGPT must have been like, there was no context to it. So it was like, yeah, that's what happens.
Yes.
This is what you do within the thing. And then I read it and I'm like, first of all,
yes.
Like the whole thing, the whole contract isn't about that one thing that he asked it.
Yeah.
Like it's about this one, it's about, you know, the union, right? And it's not about non-union, which he's saying, like mixing the two things up. And I was like, wow, like, he really was so adamant about that, but all he had to do was go check it in the contract. And even he should have just asked, like, what line says this? What article, what clause, what, you know, whatever says that. And then he could just go read it and be like, okay, once you read a couple more things, or you know what the contract's about, even.
I think that we're still going to see stupid people that go to use ChatGPT are going to remain stupid. I don't think it's going to make them any smarter, because if they're not smart enough to think, should I just trust this as fact, or should I go and double check it? If they're just going to accept something that's a bad thing for them, they're going to remain dumb.
But you don't think we're seeing smart people do that because they've heard so much? Or it's so much like magic.
I
How
don't
could
think,
it be wrong?
Well, then you're not smart. If that's what you think. Like, you gotta think. And it even says,
not smart compared to us, but smart compared to everybody else.
I don't know what that is. I don't like called stupid people just generally. Because yes, you could be a smart person and still not understand how things work. But to just accept. It even says on the page, ChatGPT can get things wrong. It says that. It's like it's one disclaimer. Don't believe this as fact. And I know a little bit more than the average person about how it works. I know that it's just using probability to determine the next chunk of data that should be in a sequence of words from previous chunks of data that it's learned. And it's also kind of like obvious to me that that's why it's so confused with the CRA stuff that I'm asking it.
Yeah.
Because no human can figure out what you're supposed to do. So it's trying to learn all this stuff from a bunch of things that humans have written in the most confusing stuff. But it is good enough that it's pointing out like sections and paragraphs. But the one thing that it said so confidently to me, like, okay, you've got to put this on whatever, schedule 3 on lines, whatever. And then I said, are you sure about that? Because my tax, okay, it said something specifically about eligible dividends.
Yeah.
And I said, really? Because my tax slip says box 25 is ineligible dividends. And then it confidently came back and said, like, oh, well, you know, that is a tricky area because the T5 would call it this and the T3 would call it this. But no, I am correct, which was hilarious to me because I'm like, but you're wrong because I'm reading it off the tax slip. But that was confusing enough to me that I'm like, is it right? It's so confident that I'm like, maybe Questrade gave me the wrong thing. Now I'm not even sure. So now I have to do more research on that. But at the very least, it pointed me in the right direction. And that's
Yeah.
all. I was grateful for that because before that I wasn't, I had no direction at all. But at least now
Yeah.
I can go and double check it, compare it against a bunch of other websites that are talking about that same thing, and slowly but surely I'll have my answers, which is another rant for me to go down, but I won't.
I got another ChatGPT question. Can it make video stuff? Like just a video, like a little bit of a like a graphic.
I can make an image, but
Yeah, image, but like I'm talking about, could it make like an intro to a newscast, like a spinning globe and whatever.
I don't think I
This
can do any
news.
video yet.
Okay.
You can, there are AI models out there that can make video. They're
Yeah.
only like a few seconds long.
Yeah, I only need a few seconds.
Well, there is one Google's, but I think you could probably get a month for free, but I think they do charge for their new video generating service. So if
Oh,
you
it's
look around,
Google?
Google has one that they put out that's supposed to be better than all the rest of them. But there's free models out there that can do it, but for like
Yeah.
a 5 second video.
That's fine. All I need is like a little bit of graphics.
And I'm
A little.
sure there's free sites out there that are set up. I set up a big complicated thing that was able to make the music using something called Comfy UI, and then it would use models that I could download for free from Hugging Face, which is a place that just houses all these models that are free. And you could set up a bunch of nodes that do this and this and this, and it's a long string of programming, not programming, but a long string of steps that anyways, I you can do it yourself for free with your own thing, but I'm sure there's free ones out there that can do it. I'm just look, there's a one called Grog, but I don't know anything about it. There's a
Grog, because I've heard of Grok.
maybe it's Grok. I don't know.
That's like the that's what I think X uses or Twitter or whatever.
See, all the companies have their own service. They're all getting in on the game right now. So Microsoft has their OpenAI, and then Microsoft itself has something that it sells with their products. I can't remember what Copilot, I think they call it.
Yeah, Copilot, yeah.
Google has Gemini, and then there's Meta has free models, but they also have their own AI model. So you'll have to look. Just type into ChatGPT what where do I go to generate, and it'll probably point you in the right direction. But I'm guessing that either they're going to make you get a plan and maybe have to pay a small monthly fee to use their video generating service, or maybe you'll find some out there that can make free short video clips. So yeah, yes, it can do it. It's crazy. The world's crazy. But
It's
I'm pretty
amazing.
sure ChatGPT, I've never asked it to make me a video, and it honestly, it could change tomorrow. Like
I
that's how
just asked
fast
it.
things. Yeah. What
It
did it say?
said it actually here, I'll read some of it. It was actually pretty cool. It said, got it. If you want a 1970s style intro video, that means we'll look into the retro TV look, bold serif, blah 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 blah. And then it's just kind of this kind of stuff. Here's what I can do: concept breakdown, script shot list, optional after effects to mimic TV filters. I can also generate retro style filled frames, so like title cards, lower thirds, background graphics to assemble into the intro, opening shot, blah blah blah, title review, blah blah blah. And then it's like, would you like me to generate some graphics or write you a step-by-step After Effects DaVinci Resolve tutorial
There you go.
for building it yourself? So it can basically build you all the graphics and then you need to do it.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing that it could tell you how to use your own software if you're using DaVinci Resolve. Like it can tell you how to do that. And that's what I had it helping me with this week. I had it navigating through something that was broken. There was a bug on this Nextcloud thing, and it was telling me how to use the development tools inside of Chrome to actually troubleshoot the issue that I was having with this Nextcloud thing. And I was like, this is fucking amazing. Amazing. And it helped me solve a bug in this software. I know nothing about programming, that programming language. I don't understand it, but it was able to point me in enough right directions that I could get in there, and I found the bug. And then I posted it on this GitHub of this guy and said, like, hey, here's how you fix your software. And other people that were having the same problem were like, great, that's awesome. Like, now I can fix my software too. And then they talked about a pull request and all this stuff. And I was like, I don't know what any of that means. ChatGPT gets 99.9% of the credit in me solving this, but it's now solved. And all you have to do
Amazing.
is replace, it was like 10 characters, replace those 10 characters in this one file with these 11 characters, and then it'll work. And that ChatGPT made a moron like me solve that. It almost could have done it itself. It's a crazy new
Yeah.
world we're living in. I love
It's an
it.
amazing world. Yeah.
Now that I'm using it, and I've only been using it for half of a year now, and I'm
Yeah.
totally blown away with
I've been using it for half an hour and
it.
it created me two images. One kind of sucked. Not be I think it's because it was hard to tell it, and the other one was great.
Yeah.
And now I'll figure it out and use it for graphics.
Exactly. You don't, yeah, people, and don't worry, there's enough people out there that will stay behind and just never accept it as a tool for whatever reasons, that you'll be further ahead just by thinking to use it for something in your life that you're like, ugh, I wish I could, I don't need it to be perfect, but I wish I could ask someone else to do this for me. Now you can ask your friend on the computer to do it for you. It's
That's
fucking,
amazing.
it is. It's, I love it. What can I say? But yeah, then let the politicians worry about all the rest of this stuff. What's it doing to our children? And let other
Exactly.
people
Fuck
worry
the
about that shit.
children.
I'm just going to use it as a tool to make my life easier.
One more question. Can ChatGPT make music?
I've never asked it. No, you'll have to ask it that question.
Let me ask it to you.
Yeah, we should do it now.
Hold on. New chat. Create
Just asking, can you make music?
a oh. Can you make music? I can't generate audio files, but I can help you compose music.
There you go. There's your answer.
Instructions, create chord. Yeah, that's crazy.
There's a company out there called 11 Labs, which I played with, and they do make you get a paid subscription. So I have been paying them $8 a month for like 3 months. And I've only used it once, but I only did it because it said it could do some shit better than what I was doing with my free stuff. So I went in there to test it, and it did a way better job of transcribing this podcast. And then I did that a couple times. Then I'm like, what do I care? And I'd prefer to do it myself. I don't like the idea of paying them $8 a month. So, but I just wanted to see how much better they were. And that's why I used ChatGPT, because I was doing it with my own free AI stuff, and then I was like, wow, it's way better. Now, I don't know if I've told you, but it's my accounting software. I send it a picture of receipts and I ask it to tell me the GST on the receipts, and it responds. And I've got this whole automated system set up. Used to take me hours to keep on top of my bookkeeping. Now I've got it down to I click a button, I click another button, and then I click another button, and now it'll have gone through like 10, 15, 20 transactions or whatever, and it's telling me two of them you should look into. And then all I have to do is double check on those two transactions and I'm done. It's saving me so much time, and I it's and it hasn't I'm paying for that. That's called their API. So I've set it up so that I can send them the images all through a terminal and everything. I don't it's all automated through my programming. And I put in $10 like 6 months ago, and I just checked my balance and I'm down to $6. And I've sent them thousands
Wow.
of pictures,
That's
thousands.
amazing.
I don't know how they make any money. People must be sending them millions of pictures. They must be doing so much more than I'm doing.
They probably are, like, probably Pizza Hut's using it.
Yeah. But if you use that chat bot and the free one on the website, you'll only get through like, I don't know, 20 questions, and then it'll say, like, you've used your free plan for the day. You got to wait 6 hours. So, but I've sent them thousands of images through their API, and it's only cost me a couple dollars over 6 months. I'm like,
That's
this,
amazing.
it's, and it did so much better of a job than my original thing. Like, it comes back now with more accuracy. Like, I wonder if it's actually getting better because of all the images that I'm sending it, if it's getting better at
Probably.
finding G. Ah, how would it know, though? That's what I don't know, because I send it a receipt 6 months ago and say, find me the GST. And it comes back and says, well, it's 72 cents. And I look at it, and I'm like, You're not even close. It's $4.18. Like, where the fuck were you getting that number from? So how could it be getting better unless I tell it you're wrong, which I don't. I just go and fix the number that it gave me. So how could it be getting better? I don't know.
I don't know.
You'd have to have a human involved saying you got that answer wrong. Because it doesn't know. It just said,
Yeah, if
yeah.
you're not telling it what's wrong, I guess, right?
But it seems, so even after I say, how could that possibly be? It seems like it's gotten more accurate. So I don't know. I really don't know. So that's the magic part that I'm like, there's geniuses that are doing stuff.
Definitely not us.
Definitely not.
We're benefiting from those geniuses, which
I'll take the benefit.
I'm always glad for those geniuses, those nerds knowing stuff. And then my life, people are like, wow, you do great things. And I'm like, yep, I'm doing great things. Somebody made video editing so easy, an idiot like me could just do it. And now I get all the credit.
Well, okay, so people are impressed with your video editing.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be that you really had to, you had to do it manually and you had to sync up the sound and you had to make your own graphics and whatever, right? And now you just put drop things in and people are like, how'd you get the song and the thing? And you lined up the song and what he did the thing. And I'm like, yeah, you just drag it over a little bit.
Right. And
And cut stuff.
this is why I'm not afraid of ChatGPT at all, because I remember this one guy that called me and wanted me to help him make an Excel thing, and he's like, I tried to use ChatGPT to do it, and I got totally fucking lost. And he was starting with no knowledge at all. And so it was
Of
telling him the
Excel.
correct answers of how to use Excel
Okay.
to do this, but because he had no, he couldn't. He ha would have to be like, okay, stop ChatGPT. Go back to like, how do I open Excel? Like, you'd have to go to that.
What
Find
are
the
these little boxes? What are these rectangles on
find the icon on your desktop. Okay, what's a desktop? Where do I look? Like,
it?
that's how he
On
had.
your computer, what's a
What's
computer?
a computer exactly? So like, I'm not worried.
How
That
did you
guy,
get on ChatGPT if you don't have a computer?
right? That guy still had to hire me. Because he was like, I tried, but I fucking couldn't get anywhere with it. So, and it will allow me to do newer, crazier things with Excel because I'm already at that level with Excel. So I'm going to keep getting better and better, and there's still going to be the people that have never even opened it before that will need me. So just like with your video editing, and you're still going to be needed to open the program and drag the clips to the timeline and stuff, like, because there's people that are just like, I don't even know, couldn't even begin to imagine how you did that.
I think what it does, like, I think it's easy for people to do it, but then you still have to have, like, I mean that's easy. Like anybody can do that, and I've seen lots of people do it. But then it's to make something that's like, not just putting things together, right? Like that there's some kind of understanding of how it should be put together. And that's the great thing is you if you have that, you don't have to be like, man, I wish I could get somebody to put this together for me because I know exactly where I want to do this and do that. And then I have to get some guy and tell him, like, okay, cut it now and do this and put this shot in and whatever, right? That's the great thing about it is if you could already do it in your mind, then you can actually do it. You don't have to get somebody else to do it with these kind of things, right? Like that's, and I mean, it is incredibly easy. Like Windows used to come with a perfectly good like movie editing thing on it. I don't know why they stopped, but I remember when I was making that video, the video where I proposed to Kat, I did it all on that. And even though it conked out a couple times, I think I had to make like two separate ones because it could pretty much only do like 5 minutes. Like it used to come with it. It was amazing. You could do pretty much anything I can do on the programs I have now. I don't know why they cut it out.
I mean, they
Give me an
just
answer.
you want an answer? It's because they're like, nobody's using this piece of software. Why do we spend all this money on maintaining it every year? We
But
should
the
just.
weird thing is, like, you couldn't do it on the internet at that time. So, I don't know. Whatever. Makes no sense.
Okay.
Anyway.
Crumb.
Crumb. This
I think
guy.
the funniest part of the documentary is listening to these erudite people try to talk about his comics and describe them. Like the guy with the British accent or the woman that was describing the comic that was she found shocking. And she's like, well, there's a scene where there's panels where the father orders the daughter to give him a blowjob. And then in the next scene, the mother is going in and she comes out of the closet dressed in BS
Bondage,
bondage gear and then has sex with the son. And it's so funny to listen to these intelligent sounding people try to
And she's
describe those
like, I
comics.
think that's wrong. And then, and I like you use the word erudite. I just want to compliment you for that. But, and then the British guy is like, no, you're not getting it. In Europe, this would be perfectly normal and people would understand this. But the Americans are too stupid. And there's just always like the one lady's always like, I think I thought some of the stuff was good. And then he did this thing with headless women, and he obviously hates women. And the British guy's like, no, it's just, he's just working some things out.
No, I think he was trying to say like, no, he's pointing out something about society, and it's like, no, I don't think you know the guy well enough, buddy.
He's not pointing out. He's so fucking. Every time I watch it, I see something new. And the new thing I saw this time was him laughing at the worst things ever. Like his brother will be like, yeah, and I was sexually assaulting this woman. He's like, bah! And he's like, man, I wish I could just murder people. Bah! He's just like laughing at like all the terrible things people are doing and all the terrible things he's doing. Like this woman's like, yeah, you wouldn't like when we were dating, like you never cared about me. You said you were in Europe and you were, and I saw you walking with a woman. He's like, "Bah, hilarious." And she's like, "No, it's not. It's not hilarious at all." And he's like, "Ah, whatever. I was over there and sometimes you're over here. I don't know. What do you want me to say?" She's like, "Well, I just didn't want you to be terrible." And he was like, "Yeah, whatever." He's just fucking nuts. You feel like if one day he woke up and his wife threw out his art supplies, like he would do unspeakable things. Like that's a serial killer right there.
Well, certainly. I mean, especially because there's points where they point out that his brother had to fight the urge to murder him. Like,
Yeah,
you know that
all the
all this
time.
same craziness is in all of their members of their family, right? It's so fascinating to see like the one guy ends up basically homeless and crazy. The other one ends up a millionaire because he took his craziness and expressed it on the page.
And he just can't stop. Like there, if you know that if he's, because you see that the other two have kind of stopped or they're not, like the one guy, Maxon, talks about how he took a break from painting and then he was doing all this awful stuff. And then Charles stopped drawing, but he's heavily medicated. And when he's not heavily medicated, he's either suicidal or homicidal. And you're like, this is all that's keeping him intact, Crumb. This is the only thing are these comics that he can get everything out. And they're just keeping him from going on a rampage. And it's fascinating.
It is. It's everything about the movie is fascinating. Like he, to him to be, they're all crazy in their family. And then you go, how did they get like this? And you wonder what kind of environment did they have to grow up in to all be end up crazy? And then they go into like his father being this tyrant, and beating them and probably openly hating them throughout their childhood, and then
Yeah, because they
having a
were all
mother,
nerds. Yeah.
and then having a mother who, what's the word? Mollycoddled? What did he say?
He probably
Mollycoddled?
used
Mollycoddled.
mollycoddled, probably used that word. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the word he used. I just wasn't sure what it was. And then he admits, well, she did. So you get just a quick glimpse into a loving mother that spoiled them, I guess would be, or tried to protect them, but probably not very well from the father. Not, no, I wouldn't even, so why did I make that up? They never said anything about her protecting him. She just molly called. How do you interpret that? Molly coddled.
Mollycoddle, it's like basically
Babying them.
you're babying. Yeah, you're keeping them away from having too many experiences outside of the home, and
Oh yeah.
making sure that they're not, making sure that they're not getting themselves into trouble.
I
And
see. I interpret it as like loving, like just like showing them extra love, like babying them. Do
yeah,
you
I
think
think,
it's
but
more overbearing?
no, but it's more like overprotecting, I think,
Overprotective.
with
Yeah,
love.
with
Like they,
love.
you can't let them out of your sight.
And then it's
You're
fucking.
giving them, you're not, instead of teaching them how to use a knife, you're cutting their meat for them.
Oh yeah. Well,
What that
babying
kind
them.
of thing.
That's how I would interpret it.
Yeah,
Babying.
babying
Yeah.
and that kind of thing.
And
Yeah.
then it's so fucked up to hear the youngest son is like jealous of the older brother's attention
Yeah.
that the mother gave the oldest son, and the oldest son is still living with the mother. You're just like, what fucking soup has cooked up these minds? And then you got to think, and I start to think, like, well, there must be something in the genes too that make them kind of hyper intelligent too, like their ability to have
Yeah.
a higher IQ or something, or
Well, it just
something like with the art, like
the
the fact,
talent
the
is
talent.
incredible.
Yeah.
Like Maxon's paintings, I'd never really noticed those before, and how, I mean, I don't know anything about art, but I'm gonna say they're pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've sold for like millions of dollars now if he didn't destroy them.
Why?
Oh, just because of the, probably right after the documentary, or I'm sure he's dead, but I'm sure sometime after the documentary, somebody was like, hey, I'll start buying these paintings and selling them. And I'm sure now they're worth tons of money. We should look that up.
We should. I'd be curious just to know if he's alive or not, because the
Yeah.
sad surprise ending to the movie is that, and I'm forgetting the oldest brother's name.
Charles, is it?
Charles is Charles killed himself a year after they filmed him, and of course my mind goes like, do you think he killed himself because of this movie, or do you think it was always going to happen? If they hadn't have filmed him, it would have been a year later regardless, because him talking on camera openly about all that stuff, it's not gonna can't be comfortable, even though they're giggling about it. That's just a total psychological defense mechanism.
Oh, yeah.
Everything fucking unless he is just a terrible person, but I don't believe that anybody, well, maybe some people are, but like he's Crumb is laughing at it. Robert is just laughing all the time. I just
Yeah.
see that as a, it's too painful. What else are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Like that his brother's about to kill himself, and he does express a little like sadness that like, oh, I don't see any of them but my one brother,
Yeah.
I'm the only one in his life, so it's kind of
Yeah.
sad that I'm leaving. He's got a heart in there somewhere.
Well, he definitely does. And then you also realize that he has two sisters who, and here's something from IMDb, not only didn't appear in the film, but threatened to sue the filmmakers for making the film because they wanted money for Robert's terrible treatment of women, or
Oh.
something like that. Like they said they were going to sue them for the profits to make like reparations for how awful Robert Crumb is.
Yeah.
And that was his own sisters.
Yeah, that's his own sister. That's totally fucked up. Their whole family's just fucked up.
Well, their sisters are probably normal. That sounds about right. If you were like, you're going to make a documentary of my very famous but really fucked up, and maybe, I mean, he doesn't seem like that bad of a guy, I guess, either, though.
Nah, I don't know.
I mean,
I am definitely worried for his daughter.
Legally, yeah, that's true too.
Where did
When I
you have
watched
that
it
same
this
feeling?
when I watched it this time, I was like, ooh, gooey.
Get her off of his lap.
Ooh.
That's what I wrote down. No, someone
No.
save Sophie.
Someone save. But his wife seems sort of
They make a point of showing Sophie sitting on his lap and he's kissing her.
yeah, they
And
do.
then they pan over to his wife, who's fast
Yeah.
asleep on the couch. It's like, you're a fucking brilliant filmmaker that you just caught
Yeah.
that. You
Yeah.
decided to include that snippet to make all of us go, oh dear.
You expect nothing less from the director of Bad Santa.
Is that who he is?
Yeah, Terry Zwigoff directed Bad
Wygoff.
Santa, and also what was that movie? Art School Confidential.
What I will say that I was impressed with from Terry is how he was able to get all these people on film.
Okay.
Because at the very beginning, Robert calls up his mother and says, "We're going to come over to see Charles." And she says on the phone, clearly, she says, "No, you're not filming. You're not coming in here and filming, and I'm not going to let Charles out of my sight." Still mollycoddling him. And he goes, "Well, that's that." He hangs up the phone. And yet later on, they do go there with their camera crew. And the only thing that I heard from Robert describing how that went down after in a different scene said something like, "Oh, it's so crazy. We come in. My mother's there. She says, 'No, you can't film. No, you can't do this.'" And then Terry says, "Oh, we're just going up to Charles's room or something." And so that's enough for her to be like, okay, fine. And then somehow he ends up down in the living room filming all of them telling fucking horrible stories about their childhood. And the mother's totally into it. And that's what Robert was describing. Like at one point she's like, "No, I can't." And which I totally get that she would say, "You can't film us. We're in a fucked up situation here." Like, she's embarrassed to be on camera, but somehow Terry was able to get in there and get them all just talking. And I don't know what talent that is, but it makes me think of Chris Johnson because he's told me sometimes, like, when you're just interviewing people, you just got to shut up. Which is like, I'm like, I don't know how to do that. When I ask somebody a question and they don't say anything for a few seconds, I just immediately jump in and say, like, well,
Yeah,
here's a
you
few
jump in,
reasons why you should.
yeah.
What you mean specifically me?
No, everybody.
Okay.
No, everybody, yeah.
But that's what my gut says to like jump in and be like, no, here's the reasons you should be comfortable with this. But the secret is the opposite of that. Just like let there be awkward silence for a long time and then people just get comfortable with you because you're not aggressively saying stuff. It's the
I
same thing
guess
in
so.
sales. It was the same thing in sales. Like when the customer, when you say like, okay, how many would you like? And they stand there in silence. The training says, shut up, don't say anything. And I could not do that.
Me neither.
I always would jump in and say, like, well, if you don't like that one, then maybe, and they'd say, okay, you know what? I'm gonna think about it. I'm leaving. And you're like, how did I just fuck that up by speaking? It's crazy the psychology that goes on that seems to be universal. But anyways, I ran on a ramble, but I'm still just really impressed that Terry was able to get all these people. I don't know if it's just about persistence, like how many times do you think they called the daughters and said, "Come on, we need you." It's
I
like,
think people also want to talk, especially about themselves.
that's what Chris says. Just let them talk.
They want to talk about themselves. You just have to let them, like you said, get comfortable, or let them just realize that that's the only thing that you're there to do. You just sit there, like you got to do something now. I'm not going to do it. This is your turn. But then again, I mean, we're not the professionals, so I trust what Chris says, whatever he says.
Well, he just said the same. I think he said the same thing as you just said, and it's
That's
just
what I'm
not.
saying. If he said it, it's got to be right. Okay, so what else were you saying there?
All right. See, I can't take the awkward silence. I can't take it. I'll jump in with something. I can't take
Okay,
this.
jump in, yeah.
Okay. So, it's sometimes really easy to appear like a genius, I find, when all you got to do is just speak so cynically.
Okay.
And there's a lot Robert tries to speak cynically about, like, oh, look at how disgusting these people are wearing their
Yeah.
advertisements on their shirts and how they. And
Yeah.
it does make you kind of appear like a genius. To other people, you might be like, oh, he's a tortured genius. He sees all these things that I don't see. I just wander around and just happy to be breathing and living and happy to smoke a cigarette or whatever. And he's just like,
Yeah.
oh, look at this disgusting consumerism. And there's one
Yeah.
point where he's talking about like how gross the telephone poles are and stuff like that in background scenes. He's like, you couldn't even make this stuff up. It's so horrible looking. And it's like, that's an easy perspective to have to make yourself look so intelligent. Probably as he flips on his light switch and picks up his phone to make a call, he's also then just saying like how dumb. You could also admire the genius of the people that had to invent electricity and telephones and then had to figure out how to coordinate getting them around the city, and
Yeah, exactly. Where to place them?
that can be appreciated for a different level than just aesthetically, it's ugly, you know. So you're not fooling me, Crumb.
No, he does talk a lot about like people having sports teams, which I was a little bit pissed off because I like the 49ers. He kept saying like, oh, the 49ers and the Raiders and like what like there's an obvious reason why you wear a jersey because you like the team. He just doesn't like sports.
Right.
Like like he has so many issues. It seems to be just that he has issues with modern life. Like he likes to dress kind of old timey and listen to old timey music. He just seems to, like me, not using ChatGPT. It just hasn't caught up
Right.
and maybe never will catch up.
No, because you
And he's
just at some point say, like, I'm not going to, I refuse to because I'm against it. And
But I
nobody's
think it
calling him on it.
also sort of helps with his kind of weird comics that like I guess a modern guy was drawing those comics, you'd be like, what the fuck? Like, don't you know better? But when a guy is like dressed up like old timey and he's listening to his jazz music, you're like, ah, look at that guy. He's just a kook.
He's just a
He's a
kook.
funny guy. But if you're wearing, like your San Francisco 49ers jersey and drawing comics of weird sex and whatever is going on, then people be like, man, you're fucked up. So I think the part of it is that whole character that he's doing that lets him get away with this stuff. Like he never fit in with, like he said, he tried to be a hippie, but he just wouldn't wear the clothes or something like that. Which I found, kind of interesting, like that he was just, even then, even in the 1960s, when he was a young person, he was still sort of stuck in an era that was probably before he was born, really. Like he was born in the mid 40s, and he seems to dress like he's in the mid 40s. So I don't know, it's the whole thing seems to be a costume that allows him to have this freedom that he has.
Yeah, it's just that some people can will just accept that as he's obviously working on another plane than me. Like he's obviously a fucking genius, and now I'll read stuff into his work. Like that British guy, I go back to him. He's just like, oh no, I think Crumb was trying to tell us this and that. And it's like, no, it turns out he was just jerking off to his own comics that he drew.
He was literally jerking off to his own
I mean, I'm
comics.
not taking it away from him. He's obviously smart. His brothers were obviously really smart. And that's why I think, like, geez, there's got to be something in the genes that also helps you be that intelligent, or just not intelligent, just your mind works differently, like
Creative,
creative. The fact that they can draw stuff like that, and who knows how they learned. I don't really know. And they never explained that. They never had the mother saying that she taught them how to draw. Like it seems like they just picked it up on their own.
Yeah, they just liked comics and started drawing, it seems like, yeah.
And well, it seems like the older brother maybe was the one that started it and just for his love and then got the younger ones into it. And maybe that's there's something psychological that like they didn't have a father, so they were looking up to the oldest sibling, like
Probably,
he's
yeah.
their father and trying to be like him. I mean, there's a lot of that in there. Robert talks about how all he wanted to do was please his brother. Just a
Yeah, just like
fucking
you. Yeah.
psychology class. Yeah, just like me.
Just
Could
like you
be.
trying to be like your older brother and living up to him and yeah.
It could be.
And you murdered seven prostitutes.
Oh yeah, the younger brother talking about molesting girls, and then like Terry was like, "Did you actually rape these women?" Like, just think about how fucked up that
Yeah.
conversation was right there, that he had to
And he's
clarify
laughing.
that.
Yeah. What did you watch anything good this week?
Well, okay, so I finished Crumb, and for some reason, my media server recommended that I watch Weird, the Al Yankovic story.
Okay.
I don't know why it's after Crumb, it's suggesting that. I guess it's sort of a documentary about someone's life.
Kind of
I
outsiders, yeah.
think it's
Documentary about kind of
based on the
outsiders.
title, Outsiders. So I watched it again. It's funny. I love Weird, the
It's
Al
very
Yankovic stuff.
funny. Yeah.
So I went and recommended it to my brother and said, "Have you ever seen this movie?" Because you recommended it to me. And I went, "I don't think I want to watch that." And you're like, "You think it's going to go one way, but it goes a different way." That's all you told me. And I was like, "All right, I'll watch it then." Jesse says to watch it. And then I watched it, and you were exactly right when you told me that. You were like, "You think it's gonna go one way?" I can't remember when it was, and it's within the first like 10, 15 minutes though, that you're like, "Oh, this is gonna be this kind of a movie. It's gonna be funny." I think it was when he was beating the hell out of the accordion salesman.
Yeah, I think that's probably
And you go,
it.
"Oh, wow, that's so over the top. This is not gonna be the Al Yankovic story." So I recommended it to my brother, and he was like, Never seen it. Is it good?" And I said, "I love it," or something like that, or "I think it's great." And I didn't want to tell him because it's so much better of an experience if you go into it assuming that it's going to be some sort of a what it's not a
Straight ahead
documentary,
biopic.
biopic. And I just was thinking about like how much power that title has because we're all of us are basing it off that title. We know nothing about it. So then he came back to me and said, like, "Okay, I'll check it out. Where should I watch it or something?" And I said, it's a Roku thing, I think. So then he asked me, I don't know. I responded something like, "You'll learn some fascinating things about him that you didn't know." No. He responded to me, "I don't know anything about him. So everything, it'll all be news to me." And I said, "Oh, you're going to learn some fascinating things about him." But I'm the point of this is that we all are basing it off that title. We know nothing else about it, but just because it's titled Weird, colon, the Al Yankovic story, just that title makes us go, "Well, we know what this is going to be." Because I had seen the commercial for it 1,000 times, and I still was thinking that it might be a serious thing.
Yeah, because they don't give it away, which is good.
That's it. And then when you watch the behind the scenes stuff, they're all trying to say talk about it like it's serious. Like they're all it's part of the joke, right? Like they're like, "Oh
Yeah, I
yeah, he,
guess.
Madonna's in there," and she's like, "Well, I didn't know about the connection between Weird Al and Madonna, so that was all news to me." That's Evan Rachel Wood doing that. So she's playing into the joke too, right? I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. There's a
Okay.
new show coming on. That I've heard of. I don't know if you've heard of this, but it's not on yet, called The Lowdown. I'm looking forward to.
What's it about?
It's about I think it's about like kind of a grifter or something played by Ethan Hawke, and it's got like a bunch of cool people in it.
Okay.
Jeanne Triplehorn is in it. Killer Mike. I don't know if you've ever heard of Killer Mike. He's
Maybe.
a rapper.
Right.
But there's a bunch of really cool people. Oh, the Canadian First Nations lady, Kenito, the
All
really
right.
hot one, the crazy hot one that was on Reservation Dogs. I think she played the deer lady or something.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, she was in what's that show too? The one that everybody seems to like, with the hick people in Sudbury. You know the one.
Oh, yeah, I do. Letter Kenny.
Letterkenny, yeah, she was on that too. Yeah, but that looks like an awesome show, so maybe we should both check that out.
Maybe I will, maybe not. Don't
Maybe I
know.
won't.
Making no commitments. Well, I
Nothing
don't know. You haven't told me.
promises.
You just told me three people that are in it that I'm like, I don't care. So,
You don't care about Ethan Hawke?
no. The show's got to be good before I watch something just because Ethan Hawke's in it.
We got to watch everything that Ethan Hawke's in. At least give it a chance because it's got Ethan Hawke.
Nah, I don't know if I watch anything just because somebody. I guess sometimes I just assume that if they're in something, it's probably going to be good too.
Yeah, it's like a mark. Like Denzel Washington's not going to be in like something really shitty.
Right. Like they pick it, but I don't. Ethan Hawke hasn't won my respect for me to think like he only
Wow.
does good projects.
Okay. Maybe not only good projects, but a lot of good projects.
Sure. Well, whatever. That's fine. Okay. Any other recommendations?
I didn't really watch too much this week.
Okay. Did I see anything else? Peacemaker's back.
Yeah, I
Shows.
love the good Peacemaker season.
Here's what I'll say about Peacemaker. The first season had that song that they played in the opening credits, and it just became earworm, right? Like I'd be humming it days after seeing the show. It'd be in my head. And then this season started and they did a completely different song. And I was like, wow, that's weird because I think a lot of people liked it for that song at the beginning. And I didn't like the song the first episode when I watched it. I'm like, why would they change that song? It was so that was part of the fun of the stupid show was their opening title
Dancing and yeah.
with that catchy song.
Yeah.
And about three episodes into this season, I'm like, now I'm doing the same thing with
It's
this song.
growing on you.
It's totally grown on me. And even today I was humming it. Thinking about that song, I'm like, who's the genius that picks these songs? Or is it the
James Gunn.
dancing that I like?
James
Is it
Gunn is doing all of it.
the song or is it the dancing? I don't know why, but it's it had the same effect on me both
I
seasons.
think it's both because the dancing is so terrible.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Yeah, and it kind of you put it like you can't sort of look at the dancing and listen to the song separately, and then you're like, it's just something that sticks in your head. It's not none of it's good. Like I wouldn't say I like the song and the
Right.
dancing's terrible, but then when you put it together, like I just can't get it out of my head.
It's just so,
It makes no
yeah,
sense.
I can't figure out why how he's done that to me twice, and I hope they do a third season, and I hope I had the same reaction where I'm
It's
like, I don't like that song originally, and then it just grows on me. I love the song.
yeah, I like the song. I like the episodes with who was in it? Michael Rooker as an eagle hunter,
He's
which
great.
is hilarious. He just finds like weird shit to put in the show, and you're like, I'll go with it.
Tim Meadows' character is
Tim
funny.
Meadows, I have bird blindness. Stop using my bird blindness against me. Oh man, he's funny. Yeah, everything's funny.
It's good. Good show.
Yeah, it's a great show. Love that show.
All right. Well then, I got nothing else to talk about.
Me
I can let
neither.
you go.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. All right, buddy.
All right. Oh, wait a second. Do I have something? Hold on. Wait a second. I think we're okay for 2 weeks. If not, I'll let you know.